Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome to this Friday Tipping Postcast. I'm Maddie Plough. I'm joined in the studio by Tom Park. We've also got David Jennings on the line as well as Rob Catterson. Welcome, lads. Cracking weekend of action ahead of us. First off, Parky, where are we going to be watching it from? You in the office?
Yeah, in the office all weekend, unfortunately.
DJ, what about you?
Yeah, Saturday is not too bad. I have a new shift on Saturday, so as a Racing Post journalist, a new shift involves watching racing, but Sunday is just a catastrophe because I have to go to a christening of my other half's best friend's baby, which I am not looking forward to.
Oh dear. Well, maybe you'll get it on the a bit on the phone sneakily, something like that.
Oh, I'll try my best.
How are we doing, Rob?
Yeah, we're all good, thanks.
Any plans to go racing this weekend?
I'm working tomorrow, so I'll get to see all the racing. And I'm off Sunday, but I should get to see a good bit of the Irish sport. There's no racing on, but there's plenty of Irish sport here. So luckily, I don't have to go to a christening.
Okay, we'll crack on with it then. Haydock first off on ITV, the 215 Betway middle distance handicap. Six runners, but it looks quite a trappy betting heat. Rob, how do they bet?
Yeah, just a six. So we're 11-4 about C. Yum Zine. We're 7-2 Podemos and Star of Southwold. 5-1 Night Story. Sixes about Jack Regan. And the outsider of the six is Morning Sky at 8-1.
Okay, DJ, starting off with you.
Yeah, I thought this was fairly straightforward. I thought C. Yum Zine would win, Maddie. It was an extraordinary performance at Nottingham. I don't know if, like, when you see form figures next to a horse of 2-2-3-1. Like, you automatically think he's progressive, but I don't think you actually get to see the giant leap forward it took at Nottingham last time. Like, completely missed the break. Even in the comments and running, it says started slowly, pushed along in rear, shaking up four furlongs out. But he absolutely bolted up, despite all of that. And, you know, before that, it was beaten six lengths in a maiden at Redcar, kind of thinking, you know, it's quite exposed and maybe not progressing, but the form of its race is actually working quite well. And she's obviously a filly just improving out of all recognition. Like, she was third to Queen of Connacht in a Wolverhampton maiden. Queen of Connacht is rated 90 now. Fantasmic was a little bit disappointing last time at Newmarket, but still ran respectably. And I just think Everton is working out well. Even Bombix, who was was second at Leicester, he's raced at 98 now, so everything seems to be stacking up for C. Yum Zane. I just think she's a filly that's caught fire. She's gone up £6 for winning at Nottingham. I thought that was a hell of a performance. I think an extra two furlongs is going to be right up her street. She's 3-1 now. I can't imagine she'll go off 3-1.
Okay, Parker, you were nodding throughout that. Are you in agreement?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with DJ anymore. As he said, she was left about five or six lengths at the start. She come with a rattling run at the end, and she wasn't doing a dot in front. I mean, if it's in terms of performances, the way that they got, that was as green as it gets. She's got way more improvement to come. The step up in trip will certainly suit. An extra two furlong shouldn't be a problem for her. She was pushed out for a long way in that race, and I think she'll take an awful lot of beating.
Okay, well, we've covered that race fairly sharpest then. Rob, I'll just give you the last word. Are you in agreement with the lads?
I'm not. I'm going to take the lads on. I'm going to go for the only maiden in the field, Podemos. Obviously still a maiden. It's had three runs, but its most recent effort when it was second to Al Mogared, who's got a Queen's Vase entry. There were 10 lengths clear of the third on that occasion. It was his first time running over a mile and a half. It was his first time on good to firm that he's going to get tomorrow. I think there was an awful lot of improvement there, and I think himself and that winner from Chepstow could be above average. So a tough rave back. It's Podemos at about 7-2 was the most likely winner.
Okay, excellent. Moving on to the 250 Betway Pinnacle Stakes. This looks a nice opportunity for some fillies to get some black type. Take it away with the betting.
Okay, so we're 2-1 now about the market leader. That's God Given. Cribb's Causeway is a 4-1 shot. What a Home is sixes. We're sevens about Euro Nightmare. 8-1 TT McPhee, and we're tens bar.
Okay, what do you make of this one, Parky?
Well, I mean, God Given is the rightful favourite. She's well clear on ratings. Big jump down in class. This looks a good opportunity for it to get back to winning ways. With nine runners, though, I can't let Crimson Rosette go unbacked. I think she's close to being one of the outsiders of the field. But she won in handicap company very well last time, and she appears to have it all done on ratings, all to do on ratings. But the horse she beat, White Chocolate, absolutely bottled up on her next start. So she's a good bit better than her 85, I'm sure of it. And although she has it all to do, she's clearly improving. And I think she'll be there or thereabouts in the places. And she'll be good each way, but yeah.
Okay, Rob, just clarify what price?
What was the horse again?
Crimson Rosette.
Crimson Rosette at the moment is a 10-1 chance.
There you go. Okay, DJ?
Yeah, I can see where Tom is coming from there. And even the four tone that day at Doncaster appointed, I thought, ran quite well at Newcastle a couple of days ago. It wasn't beaten far by Light of Joy. So the form has been well and truly franked. And maybe it was a better handicap than you thought. Like that, though, I think there's one overpriced here. We were on the podcast a few weeks ago at the start of May, and Paul Keighley was mad on What a Home, trained by William Haggis in a listed race at Goodwood, and was backed into favouritism that day. There was a few non-runners, but it was disappointing. But she sweated up really badly beforehand, and right kind of when they were turning onto the straight track at Goodwood, she just completely hit a flat spot. Now, at that stage, it looked like she was going to be well and truly hammered, but she was completely eased inside the final furlong. She was still only beaten six lengths that day by Isabel de Urbina. And it just suggested that there was so much improvement to come, that this was just a run to blow away the cobwebs. Hadn't ran since the middle of September last year, and that was on soft ground at Doncaster. I just think this is the type of filly that will improve considerably. I see it's interesting. There is nines available elsewhere, and powers are going sixes. And I know Frank the Tank Hickey probably priced this up. And he's a big fan of What a Home as well. And yeah, I thought that 9-1 was big. Now, I think What a Home is far better than it showed at Goodwood. And I'm going to take a chance on her.
Okay, and Rob, finally over to you for your verdict on the Pinnacle Stakes.
Yeah, it's Cribb's Causeway for me. Obviously, God Given sets the standard, but all of her wins have come in soft, so it'll be interesting to see how she handles the much faster ground. Cribb's Causeway was third in probably just as good of a race at York a couple of weeks ago. That was over a mile and six. She probably didn't get home then, and it was her first run of the season as well. So I thought she, with the combination of dropping back in trip and the improvement from that first run, I thought she could go close.
Yeah, Cribb's Causeway, she improved rapidly last season. Really consistent filly. Moving on to the 325 Betway Achilles Stakes. Can Muthmere get his head back in front, Parky?
Well, when I looked at this race, I was trying to get Muthmere beat, but his runs have not been that bad. He's a Group 1 performer that's dropping back into listed company when I think the rest of the field are handicappers that are stepping up. I've been thinking that he's gone at the game, but his performances recently, he's been running right up to his mark of, I think he's 110, like 3.5 lengths behind Batash. That's not a bad run by all means. He had some good horses behind him in France, one called Finsbury Square. Like, that's good form. Mm. His closest rival is Judicial. I don't think he's won outside of handicap company, certainly not since stepping up recently. And I just think you can kind of play this how you want, but Muthmere will be, he sets a really good standard. There's one down the field that really catches my eye. I've had him down for a while for the Wokingham, called Blue de Vega. It's interesting that they're running him because, as I said, he's in the Wokingham. He ran in the Dash last week. He was a bit unlucky. He probably would have won that race with a clear run. Yeah, he was fourth, yeah. But he's been running it over five furlongs. I'm sure that a step up to six furlongs at Ascot will suit. He's back over five again today. I'm just wondering whether he needs nine to come out to get in the walk and whether they're after getting a penalty for him. But yeah, it was a really eye-catching run at Epsom last week. And I think he should run well, yeah. I think he's a good each way bet.
Yeah, just, I think it's interesting that obviously Robert Cowell's re-sort of made him as a sprinter. I think I backed him for the Guineas back in the day. DJ, what do you make of Muthmere first off? He's sort of... He's flattered to deceive a little bit in his career, hasn't he? But he's still a good horse.
Yeah, no, don't like him. No, won't be backing him. Don't like him. Lovely, consistent sprinter. But I think you've always got to take him on in a race like this. On Blue de Vega, I think Thomas hit the nail on the head there with regard to the Wokingham. And there was nothing funny at all about backing that horse in the Guineas, because it was third to Autad. It ran a cracker that day. Probably just didn't get home. And it's funny that after it was third to Autad in the Guineas, its next port of call was the Tercentenary at Ascot, which of course is a mile two.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see it going from a mile two to 5, but I think this is just going to be the most perfectly executed plan in the world from Robert Cowell for the Wokingham, because he's getting him handicapped over 5 and he's just crying out for 6. So it ran over 6 at Doncaster early on in the season, badly needed to run. It's ran over 5 on its last 4 starts, run over 5 again. You'll see a different Blue de Vega when it steps up to 6. I could see it finishing 3rd or 4th here, getting a lovely penalty because it's running against the horses that are rated much higher, getting into the Wokingham, and I take Tom's advice, not for tomorrow, but I think Blue de Vega's got a cracking chance in the Wokingham. For tomorrow, though, and that's what people want, because they want Royal Ascot money, I really like Judicial. I know Tom said that he doesn't win when he steps out of his grade, but what a run in the Palace House. Like, I felt sorry for Luke Morris that day, because Luke Morris followed Havana Gray down the centre, and on form it looked like he had one horse to beat, and Havana Gray made the early running, had the early pace, but then dropped away quicker than probably Luke Morris thought, and it just drifted to the middle of the track that day, hung under pressure. Like, he's a 6-year-old, but he just keep improving, and the way he travelled through that race, like, I thought he was the moral winner of that race. I think he's still improving fast, and I think I'm pretty confident about Judicial here.
Okay, Rob, what price can we get on Judicial, Muthmere and all the rest?
Yeah, Judicial's been the best backed horse all week. He's now 7-2. We're 15-8 Muthmere. We're 11-2 Alpha Delfini, 7's Final Venture, and we're 10's Bar.
Okay, and your thoughts on this race?
Yeah, like Tom, I was trying to look for something to get Muthmere beat, and it's pretty difficult. Like, if this was a handicap, he'd be given all of these weight, and yet he's getting weight off the top two. All he has to do is reproduce a couple of his runs back last season, winning a Group 2 and been fourth in the King's Stand. He might be 8, but he still sets the standard, in my opinion.
OK, and finally on ITV4, we have at 4 o'clock the Betway John of Gaunt Stakes. Dutch Connection, of course, likely to be a lot of people's fancy in this run. A massive race to be fourth in the Lockinge last time. Rob, how do they bet?
Yeah, and he was DJ's tip in the Lockinge as well, so we may get that in. He's 2-1 favourite tomorrow. We're 3-1 about Amos. Tabarak is 130, 4's Dubai and 16's Bar.
Yeah, now DJ, we did like an office sweepstake for the Lockinge because there wasn't any football we could do on, and I actually drew out Dutch Connection. I thought, oh, that's my chance, he's gone. I've got no chance, but he ran a massive race, didn't he?
He did. I backed him each way at 66-1, and it was excruciating because he was just collared for third close home by Lancaster Bomber, who obviously went on to win the Group 1 Tattersall's Gold Cup. But
fast ground's key, isn't it, to him?
Yeah, and he's just, of things I love in life, you probably have Aoife, my mom, my dad, and Dutch Connection would fall into the top. Would fall into the top 10, I'd say. I'm just a sucker for these strong travelling types it's just gorgeous to watch during a race. And during that Lockinge, Jamie Spencer and Dutch Connection, it was just poetry in motion, the two of them together. And Jamie just waited and waited and let everything happen in front of him. And what a run to be beaten 3.5 lengths by Rhododendron, over a trip that stretches Dutch Connection's
stamina. Yeah, I was going to say,
stamina.
He's a 7-furlong specialist, really.
He's a 7-furlong specialist on a flat track like Haydock. I just think he's different class to these. How do you pronounce it? Emmaus? Is that the right pronunciation? Like, Emmaus,
I have no idea.
Like, is lightly raced, but it was heavy ground when it won at Leicester. I just wonder, even when it beat Sir Dancelot at Leicester as well, it was good soft that day. There was plenty of cut on the ground. Same when it won its maiden. It's the sexy one, I suppose, Emmaus. It's you know, 1-3 of its 4 starts, could be anything. And I think Roger Varian has got so many really good 4-year-olds this season, especially kind of handicappers that are improving. But I just think Dutch Connection is so much beat over 7. He's rated 113, so he's the top rated on ratings, and he looked better than ever in the Lockinge. That was as good a run as he's produced. Charlie Hinds' horse are running well. It's just one of these races where I think it's better not to overcomplicate it, and Dutch Connection is the obvious one, and I think he'd win, and I love him, so I hope he wins.
Okay, Parky.
He ran superbly in the Lockinge. I mean, if you watching the race back, he looks like he's going to win a furlong out.
Oh, I know.
That said, it's like, DJ, it's all right, them travelling sexy, they've got to finish sexy, don't they? I bet you've thrown the remote at the telly a few times watching Dutch Connection.
Yeah, many a remote broke.
He ran superbly. My big problem with Dutch Connection is it's been some time since he's strung two decent runs together. And I just wonder whether that Lockinge run was his play for this part of the season. I think it's 3 years since he last put two decent performances together. So for that reason, I prefer Emaus. I think he's a typical Roger Varian improver. I think he is strong in the finish. There is question marks over the ground, but to be fair to him, he's not. It's not a concern, the ground. It's more a question because he's not run over anything better than good ground. So, I think if he handles the ground, I think he'll be. I think he'll be the one to beat because I'm just not sure whether Dutch Connection has the bottle. I think he throws the towel in a bit too easy, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Rob, I'll give you the final verdict.
Yeah, I'm with DJ in this one, pretty much backing up everything he said about Dutch Connection. You got to throw in the fact as well, he's never won first time out in his five seasons running, so that has to be a plus. And four of his five wins are over seven furlongs, so he's got his ideal connections or conditions tomorrow. He's the class act, and like DJ, I think he'll win.
Okay. Come on, Rob.
So two votes for Dutch Connection there. We'll move on to the rest of ITV4's action just after this.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Okay, welcome back to this Friday Tipping Postcast. We're going to move on to Musselburgh now, and at 1.55 is the Edinburgh Gin's Seaside Gin Handicap. Reverend Jacobs was a smart winner at York last time. He's sure to be near the top of the market. Can you confirm that, Rob?
Yeah, he's the 11-8 favourite. We're 2-1 about Western Duke. It's then 7-1 about the Glasgow Warrior. We're 11's Lycidas, 12's Eye of the Storm, and Dance King's the outsider at 16-1.
Okay, Rob, I'll go to you first on this one.
Yeah, it looks a two-horse race. Again, you go down through each horse and you're trying to see ways of them beating the favourite. But outside the top two, there's just negatives against everything else. And I just think because, even though he didn't win by an awful lot at York, he just looks the most progressive Reverend Jacobs. He's got an entry in the Northumberland Plate and he just looks one of these Willie Haggis horses that is just going to start to improve progressively right throughout the season. It's boring, but he's really the most realistic winner, and I just couldn't see any way of him getting beat.
He's got the nicest profile, hasn't he, DJ?
Yeah,
this horse should be odds on, Maddie. I think, like, if you go to that race at York, Zealander is one of these Roger Varian four-year-olds that is ridiculously well handicapped, and looking at that race, like, it was a 17-runner handicap at York, and two horses were just so far ahead of the handicapper. They pulled 2.5 lengths clear of the third that day, but watching the race the whole way through, like, you could just tell that they were far superior to everything that was in behind. I think he's done quite well to get away with such a light rise. I know, like, people will say £8 is quite significant for winning a handicap by a neck, but the fact of the matter is that those two horses are way ahead of the handicapper. This isn't a good race, and this could be a potential stakes performer. He's running off 86, 11-8. I wouldn't be surprised if we went off 8-11.
Okay, Parky, another vote for Reverend Jacobs.
Yeah, I agree with DJ. Really, I was surprised to see him so big. I was at York that day, and as DJ said, they were miles better than everything else, and that Zealander looks like he looks a potential nice horse for Roger Varian. I don't know if I'll be having a bet in the race, but I certainly think that Reverend Jacobs is the one to beat.
Okay, DJ, how far do you think he could go? Rob mentioned he's got that Northumberland Plate entry, potentially up to that.
Yeah, he's one of these. Last season I thought he was just a bit soft. Like, he was a bit like me playing football, just didn't get stuck in, and when a race needed to be won, just in the last kind of 100 yards, just kind of said, ah, do you know what, I've enough done. But I just loved the way he battled last time, and like when he won at Ascot at the end of the season last season, it was the first time he really, really properly dug to beat Hangman that day. And I think he'll get the three figures. I do. Yeah, he's 86. I think he's got a stone in hand. I think he's that good.
Okay. Perhaps bigger targets to come then for Reverend Jacobs. Moving on to the 2:30 Edinburgh Gin's Scottish Sprint Cup. Lots of the Epsom Dash runners reappearing here. El Astronauti, what an admirable horse he is. I think he's leading the market at the moment. Parky, thoughts on this one?
Yeah, El Astronauti's been brilliant this season, hasn't he? I think he's up £8 from the start. My one concern with him is, like, how much more improvement has he actually got in him? You rarely see these sprinters that were relatively exposed anyway, improving like much more than £8. So I think he's worth taking on as the favourite. I like the look of Soir Delay, who was impressive when beating Blue De Vega, who we were talking about earlier, at Thirsk last time. That was his first run for John Quinn. And I think there could be a bit more improvement to come from him. My big concern with him would be whether he's going to have a lot of contention for the lead when he got a bit of a soft one at Thirsk. But if he puts his head down the line, yeah, I think I do like Soir Delay, yeah.
Okay, I'll go to you next, DJ.
Yeah, there's a horse in here, Maddie, that I like was so sweet on at York, and it's called Orion's Bow.
And here we go. I've had enough of this from Nick Watts on the Mondays.
Like, yeah, but Orion's Bow, right? So it ran in the opening race. I think it was on Dante Day. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was.
But I had sent out a text to a load of my pals, and I said, look, I really like one here, and I'm in a kind of a WhatsApp group with a thing where we do a weekly bet and stuff, and said, I really like this Orion's Bow, and so I put a bit of pressure on myself because I told so many people. And it ran over 6 furlongs. And for 4.5 of those 6 furlongs, I was absolutely delighted. I said, this is beautiful now. David Allam has them in the perfect position. And they're coming to the furlong pole. And you're kind of going, right, here we go, here we go. And then it finished 13th of 19, even though it was in the race. 13th of 19, beaten almost 12 lengths. And you kind of say, what the hell happened? Because if you watch the race, it's... Like, if you had to write a script for the race, I would have said perfect. Now, George Bohm went on to win by 6 lengths, bolted up. But I just don't know what happened inside the final furlong. Maybe he doesn't stay anymore, I'm not sure. But when he looked to have loads of pace in the first 4.5 furlongs of that race, I see they're dropping him back to 5. Sometimes you can forgive horses bad runs at York. And the last time Orion's Bow was at York, he ran a similar type of race. He was bang there over 6 last October and just absolutely stopped inside the final furlong. And it may be just... that he doesn't really like the place. So for that reason, and given that he's back to 5, I, as you know, am so loyal. I'm going to give Orion's Bow one final chance.
This horse has had so many final chances. I reckon in the racing post office, we should all save up, buy him,
and then
give him to Nick Watts and you to just...
Yeah,
have your fun.
He has done the dirt on us so many times. We have been forgiving beyond... imagination. It's incredible. But one more chance, and he's a big price as well. And do you know what? He has a touch of class. I think 12 is the big price.
Okay, well, I'll be cheering pretty loudly if he can get his head in front again.
To be fair to DJ, when that race at York, I think it was Musidora Day, actually. I think it was the first day of the York meeting, and everyone was expecting them to... I can't remember where Orion's Bow, and I think they all came up the middle, and there was a golden highway at one end or the other because the ground had changed.
Yeah, Orion's Bow came down the near side, and George Bowen came on the outside of them on the far side. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was at York that day, and we were talking before, and everyone was expecting the lower
the near
high...
Side,
the near side would be the place to be. So we were backing horses then, and as the meeting progressed, we were on the wrong side. So if Orion's Bow was there, then that is probably why he went out so quick.
We weren't just on the wrong side, Tom. We were on the wrong horse.
Okay, Rob, what price can we get on Orion's Bow?
Yeah, Orion's Bow at the moment, he's 11-1.
11-1, and the rest of them?
Yeah, so we're 6-1 El Astronaut. He's been well backed all week. It's 8s about Major Jumbo, 8-1 Sodelo and Move in Time and Line of Reason. It's 10-1 Copper Knight, Merhoob and Dark Shot. 11's Orion's Bow and 12's Bar.
Okay, before we go on to Newmarket then, Rob, sign us off. Who's your fancy in the Scottish Sprint Cup?
Yeah, obviously it's pretty trappy. I just thought Dark Shot, after he ran well enough in the Epsom Dash last week, he was actually sent off favourite for that. This probably isn't as competitive as it is. He's drawn 17, and I just think he's probably worth another shot. He's nearly twice the price he was last week. So I think with Conor Murta back on board, I think he could be value.
Okay, moving on to Newmarket, a compelling race, the 305 Animal Health Trust Handicap. Rob, take it away with the betting.
Right, so we're 11-4 about Georgian Manor. It's 130 aft. Then Cotina is a 4-1 chance. Stormbringer 7s, and we're 8-1 Bar.
Now, Parky, this is a good race.
Yeah, very good race. I like Cavatina. I was at York when a couple of starts ago. Thought she was a little unlucky that day, and then put her in my horse tracker. She bolted up next time out at Leicester. She's been given a hefty the handicappers give her a hefty rise for that. But she gets an allowance in this, and I don't think she'll be that far away, to be honest.
Okay, DJ.
No real strong opinion on this, Maddie. The one horse I thought was a little bit overpriced is 25s with powers is Red Roman for Charlie Hills. Hopefully at this stage, Dutch Connection. Will he have won at this stage? No, he won't have ran at this stage. But hopefully it'll be a good day for Charlie Hills. Like, if you forget its last run behind Yafta, it kept hanging the last day. It was like as if something just wasn't right. Looked like it was going to be a player a bit too out. And, something just didn't go right. It's been dropped £2 since, and last season it finished off the season rated 94. It was fourth to Darkana in the big 2-year-old trophy at Redcar. That was a cracking run off a mark of 94. So could be well handicapped here at Red Roman, and it's 25-1 with powers.
Okay, brilliant. And Rob?
Yeah, big price one for me as well. Max Abbott 16s. Pretty hard to fancy in her last couple of runs, but she hasn't been the most luckiest horse in the world, especially the last day or two runs ago at Doncaster, when it looked as though she was going to be placed and her path was blocked just over 2 furlongs out. She's the only course and distance winner in the race and gets weight all round. So just thought it a big price in a race that looks maybe more open than the betting suggests. Max Ab right down at the bottom at 16s.
Excellent. DJ, do you have a strong opinion in the 340 John Sunley Memorial Handicap?
Well, I thought Addicted to You absolutely bolted up at last time at Chelmsford. Like, it was like stop the fight stuff, like a furlong out, and just absolutely, like, it won by 10 lengths. So a £10 rise might sound like a lot, but you might kind of say, oh, it was probably a poor race. Like, Bedrock was second. It was pretty competitive race. Western Way was in there, and Master of Irony, it looked pretty competitive beforehand, and Addicted to You absolutely destroyed them. So I know he's up £10, but he could just be one of these Mark Johnson ones that just keeps on improving and improving throughout the season. And I thought at the prices, I think powers are pretty short of fours, but I thought he was the right favourite.
Yeah, Rob, has there been much support for Addicted to You?
Nothing major in this race. Actually, the only horse that's been pretty much backed all week is Kaloub, which is an 8-1 chance. We're 4 is Addicted to You, as DJ said. 11-2 Byron Flower, 7's Amazing Red, and Alkmaar, and 15-2 Bar.
This is a competitive race. Parky, you on Addicted to You side?
I like Golden Wolf. I'm looking for an each way angle in
Golden
this race.
Golden Wolf. He's a bit of a monkey, isn't he?
Well, yeah, but you know, he's only been out the places once in his whole career, and even that was fourth. I just think it's interesting that Richard Hughes is running him so quickly after last week, where I do think he bumped into one.
Yeah, yeah.
At Epsom.
Dash of Spice, was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Dash of Spice, yeah. I mean, if a horse has run 10 starts as he ran and he's only been out the places once, I mean, that's an each way bet to nothing. Mm. I think one of these days he's going to get his head down and he'll get in front. Yeah. Could be tomorrow, yeah.
He travels really, really well and he has got that class. Can he go through with it? But yeah, definitely want to keep onside Golden Wolf. Any final thoughts, Rob?
Yeah, like Tom, I was sort of looking for an each-way play and I ended up siding with Alkmaar. Probably hasn't hit the heights that they thought this time last year. He ran in the Queen's Vase. But again, he's been a little bit unlucky the last couple of times, particularly in Newmarket 2 runs ago. And Charlie Appleby's got a pretty good strike rate with his 4-year-olds at Newmarket. So I just thought at about 7s, Alkmaar might be value.
OK, and don't give away your Saturday nap. But DJ, any other fancies?
In Stratford, sorry, I struggled to get that out of my mouth there. In Stratford in the 7:05, I just thought Cause Toujours has had a wind up and it's now with Ian Williams, second star for Ian Williams. I just thought, it's hard to believe, it could be a quiz question in years to come, but what horse started favourite for the 2017 Champion Bumper? Cheltenham won by Fayonet, and the answer is Cause Toujours, who has obviously had problems, but if you actually go through its runs, it didn't actually, the second the clock is ticking, is not a desperate run. Had a wind operation, changed from Dan Skelton to Ian Williams, and just thought it looked a happier horse at Kempton last month. He's running off a mark of 121. He could be absolutely chucked in the 7:05 at Stratford. So I thought he was interesting. And closer to home at the Curragh, there's a huge pick six carryover. I think there's going to be maybe 1 million or 3/4 of 1 million in the pick six. So I'm sure punters will be looking through the current card, there's a couple that I like. In the 355, Mustajir, ex-Owen Williams, had a cracking run for Ger Lyons in the Moores Bridge in the Group 2 at Naas. Was only beaten two lengths, gone up to a mark of 110. Ger does really well with these kind of older horses from Britain. Just looks like he has a touch of class in a winnable race. That's the Silver Stakes, a Lister race at 355. And the other one I'm going to chance at a big enough price is Bombasina in the 430 at the Curra. Was fifth to Arad last time. It's £9 better off now. It's got dropped a pound to 88. And it was just real eye-catching behind Arad over course and distance last time. Was probably out of his ground a little bit through the early stages, but found plenty for pressure that day under Billy Lee. And, you know, past horses look to have got its confidence back. And I think he's well handicapped because he was rated 94 around this time last season. He's down to 88 now. So Bombasina in the 430 at the Curra.
Thank you very much. Rob, anything for you?
Yeah, three at the Curra. In the opening race, the maiden, it's pretty interesting. Aidan O'Brien has his first runner by Australia here. I remember you. She's obviously having her first run. It'll be interesting to see what the money for her, because it looks a good maiden. The Crypt was well backed when he was second a couple of weeks ago, and Jesse's got Invincible Karma. She had the winner of the race that beat the Crypt, so that'll be interesting. But I think if there's money for I Remember You with Shamie on board, that could be noted. In that Silver Stakes race, the 355 that DJ mentioned, I think Aidan actually could have the key here with the two down the bottom. They get an awful lot of weight, Easter Lily and Sizzling. And Easter Lily actually beat Sizzling when she was fifth to Southern France at Navan. I thought she might be value, and she'll be a price as well. And then if you're looking for a banker, Latrobe in the last race, Joseph thinks quite a bit of him. He's been second the last twice, but the last day he was a much better race. If he's any way of odds against, I'd be getting stuck into him in the 540.
I'll tell you what, Rob, if he's odds against now, right? If that horse is odds against, right, I will pay your mortgage for the rest of your life.
That's right. Okay. We're recording this, are we?
That horse will be about 2 to 9.
There you go.
Yeah, Joseph's always said he thinks an awful lot of that horse. Parky, over to you finally.
Yeah, I've not really had much of a look. I'll let the Irish boys do look at things like the Curra, but like TJ, I like the look of Mustajir. I think he's got a big chance here.
Okay, before we move on to your naps then, can Justify Do It win the US Triple Crown in the Belmont Stakes? Parky, go to you first.
I have to say, Dirt Race and is quite possibly the worst thing I don't think he will. I'm not sure what will beat him, to be honest, but I think something will. I think it's a very... history tells you that it's not the easiest thing in the world to do, and I think there's been better horses at this stage than Justify who've not gone on to win the Triple Crown. So, yeah, I'm going to be against him.
Okay, hopefully he can do it. Be a nice story anyway. DJ, can Justify Do It? Do you keep up to date with the American racing?
Oh, like, I haven't a clue. Like, I'd only be guessing it. Most people would say that I'm guessing most of the time on English and Irish racing, but I'm completely guessing on American racing, especially dirt racing. But it would be a fantastic story. And, yeah, I just thought the race last time was it was bizarre to watch in the fog. And you're kind of going, oh, this horse wins easy, probably four or five lengths. And then you're going, oh, Jesus Christ, it's going to get beaten. And then you think, oh, no, it's going to hold on. And then past the line, you're kind of going, geez, did it actually even hold on? It was you went through every emotion watching the race. But it's going to be fascinating to watch. And I think it's just something you have to kind of enjoy rather than have a bet. And I hope he does do the business. Yeah.
Okay, and Rob, just quickly, anyone wanting prices on Justify to Do It, what can they expect?
Yeah, we're 8 to 11 Justify. Like, the second favourite is Hofburg at fives, and Justify beat him by 9 lengths the last day. So, on a straight line of form, you would have thought that barring the pounce factor or the three runs in a week or in such a short space of time, barring that, you'd have thought we're probably looking at another Triple Crown winner.
Be great to see. I'm hoping you're wrong, Parky. Right. Well,
I mean, as I said, I know very little about this. I really don't care about it at all either. I mean, I hope that he does do it. But, I mean, if he's beaten that horse that's second favourite by 9 lengths, then 8 to 11 is a good bet, isn't it? I mean.
Well, we'll soon see. On to our Saturday naps now.
This will not be beaten.
That never gets old, does it? Beautiful. TJ, over to you first.
I'm going to go to the 315 at Beverly and Wedding Date, number 13.
Excellent. Tom?
I like Muthmir for the reasons that I said earlier, yeah.
Okay, clarify which race is that?
That is the
325
at Haydock.
Okay, Rob?
And I'm glad DJ hasn't gone for Dutch Connection, so it's Dutch Connection in the 4 o'clock at Haydock for me.
Wow, okay, brilliant. And join us to talk about the Nottinghamshire Oaks after this.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Maybe he's just being a bit nervous.
Okay, welcome back to this tipping postcast on Sunday. We're now going to Nottingham, the 3:30 British Stallion Studs EBF Nottinghamshire Oaks, if I can get that out. Wilhelmina won this race last year. Of course, she won the Group 3 at Epsom. Rob, how do they bet this time around?
Yeah, no, we've actually no betting up as of yet. I'm sure we will shortly. But Cribs Cosby's obviously in. That's due to run on Saturday. And TT McAfee as well. So maybe that's the reason.
OK, any quick thoughts on this one?
Not particularly, no. I haven't really studied it. I suppose Colonial Classic for James Fanshawe and Ollie Murphy, I thought, might be value. Again, it's hard to know what the prices are, but it was. It hasn't been running great, but in a race which looks pretty trappy, maybe Usheen Murphy to continue his good form.
Okay, I know Parky's not got a strong opinion on this one. DJ, did you have a look at it?
No, not a monkey's, sorry.
We'll quickly pass through that one then.
That's the same as Rob, who's been 30 seconds waffling there.
Waffling is right.
Anyway, that's fine. Have we looked at anything at Nottingmore Goodwood, DJ? Anything there?
Yeah, there's no racing in Ireland on Sunday, so obviously we're going to have to look elsewhere. I have to find the time of the race now, or as Tom Park will find out, Bruce goes mental. in the 4:05, it's the sprint there. Orisius Maximus, Sylvester D'Souza rides that for Chris Dwyer. And I just think he's handicapped to win. He's rated 89 and he's just been on the same mark for a while, running well consistently. I thought it ran quite well at Redcar last time. Probably got caught on the wrong part of the track. But everything looks in his favour here and loads of speed. The track should suit and I think he's got a great chance. So that's Orisius Maximus, drawn in stall 1 in the 4:05 at Nottingham.
OK, Parky, over to you.
Yeah, I'm not really had a look at Sunday. All in on Saturday at the moment.
All in on Saturday. Lots of confidence there. Rob, anything?
Yeah, I had a look, but there was nothing that stood out. Obviously, with no Irish race, and I just had a quick look at Goodwood and there was nothing but she appealed.
Okie dokie.
Just one other horse that you should keep an eye out for. I just think, because I think it was probably a good maiden, Napanook for Brian Meehan runs in the opening maiden. Now, it could be a good maiden. I'm not sure. There's a few, like the likes of Carol Burke is a runner in there. And it's interesting to see Gay Kellaway is booked Sylvester for or move on up. But Napanook, this ran behind Arthur Kitt, if you remember from the Tom Dascombe stable. It won a maiden first time out at Haydock. And the two of them pull really nicely clear of what I thought was a good... I thought it was a proper maiden beforehand. And the two of them pull nicely clear. I'd say Arthur Kitt is very good. Napanook was a big drifter that day. And I'd say there's plenty of improvement to come. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Napanook win that 1:45 at Nottingham.
Lovely story behind that Arthur Kitt. Don't know if you read that. We did a Bloodstock story on it. Really interesting. Now, we recorded our epic Royal Ascot Antipost postcast earlier on in the week. It's on iTunes and racepost.com, as you'd expect. So let's finish up with a best bet for Royal Ascot. Parky, is Blue De Vega going to feature here at all?
Well, I do like Blue De Vega a lot for the Wokingham, but my best bet for Royal Ascot is Clemmy. I think she is an absolute good thing for the coronation. Her run in the Irish Guineas was always a prep run. Aidan O'Brien always said that. She travelled like the best horse for most of that race, and then a couple of furlongs out, Rymo would give her three... not even cracks of the whip, just 1, 2, 3, and she didn't pick up. He just coasted her to the line. She will be spot on. These three-year-old fillies, there's not been one that you've gone, oh, wow, she's going to be a superstar. Clemmy last year was a brilliant juvenile, and even a repeat of that form, I think, would be good enough to win this, because I think she's top class. I think O'Brien is excited about her, and, I mean, she's about 5-6 to 1 still. That's a brilliant bet. She'll go off 2-3-1 at best.
Rob, can we confirm? Can I be a pain and ask you? Can you fish out Powers Price for Clemmy?
I have it here. This could be one of the races of the week, because you got Alpha Centauri, the Irish Guineas winner. You got Tapal, It's Forth Alpha Centurion. We're 9-2 to Pal Clemmie's fives. Then we've got Happily fives. Billisdone Brook, who she might have been a surprise winner at Newmarket, but I suppose when you saw what she did at Goodwood last season, it probably wasn't much of a surprise. She's sevens. We're 8-1 then Cor de Bought and Wind Chimes and Tens Bar. But if Alpha Centauri, Clemmie and Billisdone Brook, if just the three of them turned up, it'd be fascinating. It's definitely the race of the week, or one of them anyway.
Yeah, as Tom said, they might not have been a standout, but they're all going to come together and it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top. DJ, your best bet for Royal Ascot?
Oh, Ben Battle in the Queen Anne. I think this is a revitalised customer altogether. It's 6-1, like Rhododendron is favourite. Like Rhododendron obviously won the Lochinge, and she's a miler now. I suppose she's reinvented as a miler.
Is it been confirmed that she's definitely going to go for the Queen Anne and not the Prince of Wales?
Yeah. No.
No, nothing's been said.
Absolutely
yet.
Not. Okay. But he's got a few for the Prince of Wales too, like Runcliffe of Moher and a few others. So I don't know what way he's going to do. But even if Rhododendron runs, I just don't know if that form in the Lochinge, like obviously we fancy Dutch Connection, but that's in a lower grade race on like over seven. I think Rhododendron could be vulnerable, and Ben Battle just looks like at Maidan, like on World Cup night, that was an incredible performance, I thought, in the turf. Like it was just like it absolutely bolted up, and like it wasn't a horrific race, and even beaten Emotionless earlier on in the carnival over there. I just think he won the Hampton Court Stakes last year at Royal Ascot. I think he's a proper horse. I don't think the mile would be a problem. I think he's got tons of pace. I think 6-1 is huge.
Huge. I like that. Rob, finally over to you.
Yeah, it's got to be Stradivarius in the Ascot Gold Cup. As big of a fan as I have been of Order of St. George in recent seasons, I just I was so impressed by him at York. And to me, he's 2-1 with us. He's 11-4 in places. I think he's an absolute certainty to beat Order of St. George.
An absolute certainty. There you go. What a note to end on. That's goodbye from all of us. If you enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe to them on iTunes. And we'll be back on Monday. Join us then.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.